This is Chad Harrison, and you're listening to Hope Alive, applying God's Word to your daily life. Hi, this is Chad Harrison, and I am the teaching pastor of Lake Community Church and have been serving as a pastor for 25 years. I'm also a practicing attorney. This podcast is designed to help you study God's Word and find God's will for your life. I pray in the name of Jesus right now that God would open up His Word to you and allow you to see Him and to know Him and to know His will, that you might glorify Him and that you might walk in faith and power each and every day, especially today, in Jesus' name.
Good morning. Welcome to Lake Community Church's morning Bible study. We are in Leviticus 14. We're working our way through the chapter, and we're dealing with the great subject, the one that we all adore, defiling skin diseases, which is leprosy, and how to be cleansed from it. And we realize that leprosy in the Old Testament for us is a picture of sin. It's a picture of how sin debilitates you. Obviously, this skin disease is a disease that attacks the nerves up under the skin. It begins to cause a person to atrophy, and then eventually it causes parts of the body to die. And it is a horrible disease. And sin is a horrible disease also. Sin is a horrible spiritual disease. And it causes death. In fact, the Bible says through one man, sin entered the world, and that's Adam. And then through one man, life entered the world, and that's Jesus Christ. And so the book of Hebrews teaches us that. And so understanding that sin is prevalent and is at will is important. Now, we live in a day and age and a time and a season where the truth is, it's very different than most times and most centuries that have ever existed. And what I mean by that, we live in a place in America, and we live in a time where, you know, a lot of people, everyone, not everyone, but many people, had the ability to gain some wealth, not necessarily be uber rich like the uber rich are, because they'll always be there, and not necessarily remain really destitute and poor, because Jesus said, the poor you will have with you always. That being said, we live in a time and a season where people can live in the middle class, and I guess that's the best way to say it. The middle class has not already existed during the Roman Empire. It's existed during some times and some seasons in the history of civilization, but in the time we live in, you can have that middling area. Historically speaking, most of the time, you've had the 1%, and it's really been more than the 1%. It's really been the upper 0.01%. And they had all the wealth, and everybody else. And when I say everybody else, I'm talking about everybody else was destitute and poor and lived day to day and week to week and just barely made it and tried to raise their families and feed their families off that work of a hand that day. Usually that day was determined whether or not somebody could make a living or be able to survive as a family. And really understand that God understands that. In fact, this section of scripture about cleansing and about making sacrifice for these diseases, this disease of sin, God makes provision for the poor, for those who don't have hardly anything. And especially for those who might have this skin disease and not been able to attain any money, have any ability to get something to make the sacrifice and to be made right and set right in the community. They're not able to do that. And the reason they're not able to do that is because during this time and most times after this, there is destitution and poverty is something that has plagued humanity. And so when we come to this, it clearly lays out that they're supposed to offer an offering for atonement, a burnt offering for atonement, and a sin offering in order to make themselves right. And it's to be done on the eighth day after they've gone through the whole process and they've been found to be healed. They've been found that the disease is gone. There is a eighth day, and at that eighth day, they'll offer a sacrifice, and that allows them to have all the rights to be back in what will be the family of God, which would be the Jewish people. And so they have an opportunity to be made back right and back in what we would call the family of God. Now, God provides for that because he understands that he's made people equal in front of him, but not equitable. What does that mean? That means that everybody's different. We're going to hear the idea of things being equitable in our society, and we're hearing it even now. And equitable means that everybody is exactly the same, and exactly everything that they do and they get are exactly the same. And the truth is, that's not the case, and it's not a scriptural understanding. It says in verse 21 here, if however they are poor and they cannot afford these, they must take one male lamb as a guilt offering to be waved to make atonement for them, together with a tenth of the ephah of the finest flour mixed with olive oil for a grain offering. Remember, that's a fellowship offering. And a olive oil and two doves or two young pigeons, such as they can afford, one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. Notice, they can bring a lamb. They can bring a dove or a bird. Notice, they can bring whatever they can afford, because it's not about the money. It's about the atonement and the picture of God cleansing us from sin. Now, you said, why did you get into all that? Well, because it's important, because God says that he was a master, and when he left three servants in charge of his property. To one he gave five, to the other he gave two, and to the other, to the final one, he gave one talent. And talent is a measure of money, it's a measure of wealth. We make that equivalent to your giftings, who you are, how well you've been placed in society. It can mean a lot of things. It can mean more than just money. It can mean your gifts and talents, your abilities to make money, your abilities to do things that are valued greatly by society, or your ability to do things really well that are not valued hardly at all in society financially. Their talents, their gifts, their financial resources, where you're doing in society as far as your family. Those things, God understood that they're going to be people who are different, and we're all different. We're all not the same. And so he wanted to make provision for everyone, no matter where they find themselves, no matter what their gift is, no matter what age they live in, where in one age, one gift and one talent might be worth a lot of money. And then in another age, that gift and talent's worth really nothing. It's just of no value at all. But he said he gave us talents and gifts, which means when he made us with certain abilities, certain strengths and weaknesses, each one of us is totally different. And his expectation for us is not to how much are we going to produce so that we can make him happy. His expectation is that we use what he's given us to produce. It needs to produce something. It needs to be used in some way to glorify him. In fact, that's what an offering is. An offering is a picture of you offering yourself, you giving of yourself to God as a sacrifice, as a recognition that he is God and that he is the one who has redeemed you and saved you and brought you out of sin and death. He's the one who's cleansed you of the skin disease. That's what he's done. And while he's done that, he's made you whole, and you had to recognize that. And so when the master left, when Jesus left, the owner of five talents put his talents to work and gained five more. And the one with two talents, he put his talents to work and he gained two more. But the one with one talent, the one who had the least amount, and it was the least amount, they were equal. Notice, God did not make them equal. He did not make them equitable. He made them equal. I messed that totally up. He didn't make them equitable. He made them equal. They had equal opportunity to serve him with what God had given them. Okay? And their results were not going to be equitable. The results of their work were not going to be equitable. Neither were willing to be equitable. Okay? And did God judge them based off of how much they produced? No, he did not. To the one who had five talents, he came to him and said, "See, master, I put your talents to work and gained you five more." And the master says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Because you've been faithful in a few things, I'll put you in charge of money. Come and share your master's happiness." Now, the one with two talents, he came in, and all he had made was two more. The one with five talents had made five more. The women with two talents had easily laid 30% of women. The women with five talents had made for his master. All right. Now, did the master say, that's a good job, but you didn't do as good as well as the first one? No. What did he say? Well done, my good and faithful servant. Because you've been faithful in a few things, I will put you in charge of many. Come and share your master's happiness. He says the exact same thing. The exact same thing to the five talent as the two talent. Now, the one talent, he dug a hole and put it in the ground. And he said, I was afraid, but you sow where you don't reap. And he basically said, I know that you're a God who expects the results. And I didn't let my results to be nothing. In fact, I didn't let my results to be having lost your talent. So I hid it in the ground so we can have your talent back. That's not putting anything to work. I want you to hear me today. That's not putting anything to work. And he calls that servant a wicked servant. Because at least he could have put it in the bank and earned an interest, meaning you could have done something with what I've given you, and you've gained nothing with what I've given you. And he cast him out. Now, he didn't cast him out because he only got one talent. He cast him out because he's unwilling to put those things to work. And the picture here is that God is not interested in your wealth. And by the way, as a church, I'm not interested in your wealth either. God is not interested in your position or place. In our church, we're not interested as a congregation in where you work or whether you live here or there or someplace. We don't discriminate against anybody based off of their position in life or where they come from or who they are. And the reason we don't is because God doesn't. And God says that if you don't have enough money, you bring a lamb from your skin, from your debilitating skin to get disease sacrifice, then bring a pigeon, bring a dove. Now, what is he saying? Just bring something. Bring something to the table. Come and bring something to God so that he can affirm you, so that we can say that you've acted. And how do we act when we bring those things? We bring them by faith. We don't bring them because we're all that talented, all that gifted. And the truth is, the five-talent person, in light of the master's wealth, really doesn't have anything. Five talents compared to the master's wealth is nothing. It's almost zero. And the difference between each one of us, as far as we're concerned, and the difference between us and God, the difference between us is a minute and minuscule, almost nothing. But God wants us to act on what he's given us. And so on the eighth day, they must bring them for their cleansing. And what do? They bring all the lamb or the pigeons or whatever, and they bring the oil, and they offer the offering. And notice the priest puts the oil in the palm of his hand, and he sprinkles the oil and the blood seven times over them. And verse 28 says, then he puts some of the palm and places the blood on his gift offering and on the lobe of the right ear and on of the one to be cleansed and on the thumb of the right hand and on the big toe of the right foot. Notice they keep doing this. There's steps in this process of being cleansed of sin. And the main thing that happens as a result of the sacrifice is faith. Faith is what happens as a result of that. And how's that the picture of faith? Remember, he puts the oil and the blood on their ear. They hear it. He puts it on their thumb. They put upon it. And then he puts it on their toe and they walk it out in their life. That's what faith is. We hear it, we act upon it, we walk it out in our life. And so what is God asking of me? What God is asking of me and asking of you is that we use what he's given us to build his kingdom. Okay? Five talents, bring five more. Two talents, bring two more. One talent, bring one more. The issue is not equitableness. The issue is, do you come with to God equal with everyone else, bringing the best labor of your faith to him? Do you do it? If you don't do it, aren't you remembering that? If you don't do it, you are missing out. You're missing out on God's approval. You're missing out on God's anointing. You're missing out on his purpose for your life. You're missing out on your intimacy with him. You're missing out on the opportunity to see God and his work all around you each and every day. And if you're regularly doing that with your life, I want you to hear me today. If you're regularly doing that with your life, where you're just burning it up and not using it by faith, as your friend and Bible study leader, whether you're in church with me or whether you're listening to us 20 years from now, you're missing out on everything God made you for. And that is just something that should not be. It should not be. It is something that is a loss that is unimaginable. There is loss in the kingdom, but the loss of intimacy with God while you live in this world of sin and death is perhaps one of the worst things that I can think of. You say, I could lose my life. Yeah, but if you lost your life, you'd be dead in the body. To be present is to be present with the Lord. You'd be right in his presence. Death is not the worst thing that can happen on this earth. In fact, for Christians, it's not a bad thing at all. What's the worst thing that can happen? For a believer to have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, the hope of his grace and the power of his blood, to have the church and have all that comes with that, and never ever put any of that to work. They never experience the power and the presence of God because they're not ever hardly in church and with other believers. They don't act in faith with their lives, and so they miss out on all the purposes God has for them. They never ever experience the gifts that God's given them. They never ever understand what those talents and gifts are. And sure, do you end up in heaven? Yeah. If you're born again, yeah, you do. But have you missed out on everything, that all the trappings of it, all the possibilities God made for you? And the answer is, yeah. And if you want to know a sad story, that's one of them. In fact, it may be one of the worst ones. To have all the possibilities and never experience any of it. I know that if you listen to this Bible study, the likelihood of that is very little. In fact, you're likely to be, if you're struggling through Leviticus with me, you're likely to be chasing after God pretty heavy. I want you to hear me today. Listen to the words of your Lord about your work and about your toiling and your seeking after him. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Because you've been faithful with a few things, I will put you in charge of many. Come and share your master's happiness. May God bless you and keep you.
As you go today, I pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you, that he'll make his face to shine upon you, and that he will give you hope and peace today in Jesus' name.